Welcome back to Air Talk. I'm Stephen Cuevas in for Larry Mantle. Don't worry, though. He'll be back. He'll be back tomorrow. So, when you imagine a hacker launching a ransomware attack, you might think evil genius in a hoodie, writing incomprehensible strings of code long into the night. But with the advent of the dark web, cybercrime isn't as hard as it used to be. These days, it's possible to pay for a service that will actually coordinate a ransomware attack for you. You'll even get customer service support. Kind of. Drake Bennett actually did it to his boss. Some of us just dream about doing that. Drake actually did it. Bennett is a reporter with the projects and investigations team at Bloomberg News. His recent story on this is called "The Time I Sabotaged My Editor with Ransomware from the Dark Web." Welcome, Drake.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me first, how'd this come about? Why did you decide to hack your editor?
Right. Well, it is, it is one of those revenge fantasies every writer has.
Yes.
But the story actually started out as a more straight-ahead investigative piece about ransomware. There's been a really pronounced rise in these attacks over the last few years, not only the number, but the scale and the ambition of them. And so I started out actually looking at last year's attack against the government of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But you find out pretty quickly that this is a world where it's hard to find things out for sure. There's a lot of anonymity, a lot of secrecy. It's hard to really know whether you can trust what people are telling you. And I got to thinking that a more kind of reliable way, in a certain way, to write the story would just be to try this stuff out myself and see what works and what doesn't. And this had the kind of added benefit of kind of proving a hypothesis I'd begun to develop, which was that this has become so easy that almost anyone can do it.
And your
as
own
it happens,
yeah, your own technological, how technical savvy are you? I mean, could you otherwise hack into someone's computer?
No, I'm deeply unsavvy technologically.
Okay.
I have a pretty rudimentary grasp of like how my phone works or how the internet works or kind of how to print stuff out at work even. So I was almost kind of like the true naive and the perfect kind of test for this.
And so how did you go about finding someone to help you launch this ransomware attack?
Right. So I had been talking to some cybersecurity analysts as part of my reporting, and one of them, a guy named Joe Stewart, was particularly helpful and particularly smart about this stuff. And when I kind of admitted to him that I was thinking about trying this different approach, he said, basically, like, if you can get your hands on some of this stuff, why don't you come down to my computer lab in South Carolina and you can launch your attack, such as it is, from there, where I can kind of like, be your guardrails. I took him up on that.
And then sort of, walk me through it. So you plan to hack into your editor with his knowledge, of course.
Right.
Walk me through how you did that.
The first thing we did is I sat down with my editor, Max Chafkin, and we kind of decided what this would look like. Obviously, it had to be somewhat artificial for kind of a variety of reasons. I didn't want to jeopardize his personal data, the data of my employer, which happens to be a giant financial services information company. So we got these two sort of burner laptops, these cheap Dell laptops.
Mm-hmm.
We decided we wouldn't really do any of this on the work network. And then I would try to give Max a little bit of a heads up and just kind of manage the chaos a little bit. But in terms of finding the actual kind of goods, I guess I should back up a little bit and say that the market for this stuff has progressed to the point where not only can you go on the dark web and find malware, sort of ransomware software, mm-hmm. that you can then deploy to attack whoever you want, it's sort of matured to the point where there are now services. So there's actually a term for it, which is ransomware as a service, or RAS, which is a play on software as a service, which is this giant tech industry. You can go get a RAS service. You can go on a forum, and there are these guys advertising their services. And you sort of pick one out based on, you know, what you can afford or what you think is legitimate, because a lot of these may not be. And then you can correspond back and forth with the folks who are advertising this stuff. And then you go ahead and pay for it. You pay for it using usually cryptocurrency. And what that gets you is not only the software, but a certain amount of support, as you mentioned. So there's customer support. There are these dashboards that help you keep everything organized. And so it's really lowered the bar even further for someone like me.
And so who was the person or people that you finally chose to do this for you? How did you vet them?
Right. As it turns out, perhaps I didn't vet them quite enough. But so I went on, there were a few of these forums, these dark web forums, where people talk about this stuff, where they sell it. And so I was sort of lurking in a few of those and found this one service being advertised and got in touch with the guy who was advertising it. So that happens through, in our case, Proton Mail, which is an encrypted email service. And, you know, after a little bit of a back and forth, I decided, you know, this was not a particularly pricey one. It was $150 for a term of service that was a little bit vague, probably 6 months plus. And I decided it was worth taking a try. So I didn't ever find out, you know, what his or their names were.
I see.
I did find out a little. They said they were a group of 18 to 26-year-olds with varying specialties, but that's about as much kind of demographic information as I got.
Which means they could have been in their 40s and in the Ukraine or something.
Right. No, I think, I mean, what the actual description he gave me, and like a lot of these folks, English was not his or her first language, so the description was a group of 18 to 26-year-old teens.
And okay, so once you kind of get rolling with these characters, I understand there was a snag or two.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it, like in many things, it turns out you get what you pay for. I mean, you know, so the service I bought was as I mentioned at a lower price point. And there were some problems that arose pretty early on. And to explain what the problems were, maybe would help to just kind of explain what like the basic, you know, ransomware business model is, right? You basically get this, you know, malicious software. You want to get it onto a target computer. Usually you do that by phishing, you know, spear phishing or phishing, sending out an email that has an attachment that you try to get someone to click on. And once they have, and once the software sort of is running on their computer, it encrypts all of the files on their computer, maybe even the files on a server that computer connects to, and then the cost of getting that data back is the ransom. So my ransomware had a problem right off the bat, and this is something that Joe was able to figure out by kind of running it in this simulator he's built, was that the decryptor didn't work so well. There were problems with the decryptor, but Joe was able to fix that. So we had a working decryptor, and at that point I thought, okay, I can go down to South Carolina, I can launch my attack against Max and see if this works.
How is, you know, law enforcement kept up with these types of services? Are they?
I think the short answer, as you know, the FBI would probably admit, is they haven't. I mean, and you know, in their defense, this is a giant phenomenon, and it's something that's very much enabled by the internet. It's very much enabled by cryptocurrencies, and also just by human nature. You know, it's really hard to sort of plug all the holes in every, you know, email system. And so as soon as someone clicks on a link, you know, you can have a whole company compromised or a whole city government compromised. So the FBI is trying very hard to kind of work with folks who've been attacked and sort of get the information out there. But I think nobody thinks this is something that's going to be going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, we should all know by now that if we get some weird email that we don't know the origin of, don't click on any link. And I don't even click on links unless I'm, you know, absolutely sure I know the person and maybe have had prior contact with them. But what are some of the other things people can do to protect themselves against ransomware attacks?
Well, update your software. you know, a lot of these exploits are not, it's not like some like NSA designed zero day exploit. It's something that's taking advantage of known issues with like the, you know, Word operating system. And so if you are keeping your software up to date, you're making yourself a harder target and backing up all your information. If you have, and backing it up offline, backing it up in a form where, because really good ransomware goes looking for backups that are online and tries to scramble those too. Because obviously if you have a pristine copy of your data, you don't care if someone scrambled one version of it. So, I mean, this is something, you know, you even hear some of these information security executives talking about like putting stuff on like magnetic tape. I mean, there's this real attempt to figure out better ways to back up data so that these attacks, when they happen, because they are going to happen, are sort of just as painless as possible.
Yeah, and don't skip those cybersecurity trainings at work, maybe.
No, I actually took one while I was reporting the story, and I was like, oh yeah, this stuff is like really useful.
It is. There he is. That's Drake Bennett, reporter with the Projects and Investigations team at Bloomberg News. His recent piece is called "The Time I Sabotaged My Editor with Ransomware from the Dark Web." Thanks so much, Drake. Coming
Thank
up
you.
Next on Air Talk, an art exhibition on California wildfires. It's their Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC, back in just a minute.